All right, so good morning. Let me start by thanking the organizers for inviting me to speak here and for having me here in Santa Barbara. It's been a great conference so far, and I think I've in the recent past barely ever taken as many notes as I did in this conference, so either I didn't know much at the beginning or I learned a lot. So when Donna announced the talk, I think she missed the one keyword that is important about the whole story here. So what I'm going to tell you about is many-body localization from a one-particle perspective. So the main key goal of this talk is to tell you what we actually mean by that, to talk about many-body localized systems from this one-particle perspective. So that will be the key goal. And then you see a figure here that, to everybody who's been here for more than three talks, clearly resembles the topology of the standard model of many-body localization in 1D with the deolocalized phase here, energy density versus disorder strengths, and then the MBL phase. And that's the second most important part of the talk, to tell you precisely what we're plotting here, which we'll claim is an additional way of diagonizing the phase. Okay, before I get into all the details, let me acknowledge my collaborators. So in the spirit of set by Igor Alaina, this is my kindergarten of people that I work with. This is Shumo Behra from Dresden. He's a postdoc with Jens Badarson. This is Jens, who's here. Then we've also been lucky that Henning Schumerus was visiting when we wrote the paper in Dresden. And Thomas Martinek is a grad student from my group in Munich. Okay, and we've also benefited a lot from discussions with Ehud and Frank along the way. Okay, so this is why we're all here. Don't have to say much here. So this basically is the key result from the Bascolana-Alcho paper, which shows that yes, indeed, interactions can lead to delocalization, but perhaps the most surprising effect is that really, if you plot the conductivity, there's a whole range where it remains zero. So we have a perfect insulating state at finite temperatures. And then as a result of a lot of work from people who are mostly in the audience, we have now this phase diagram that we have seen a lot here, for what I call the standard model of 1D MBL, which is the system that we'll also be looking at here for concreteness in this talk, here written in terms of fermions. And you see we have energy density versus disorder strengths here for, I think, the SU2 symmetric point of that model. Again, the ergodic phase, this is reentrant behavior, and then the MBL phase. The typical maximum disorder strengths to get into MBL is 3.5, as was argued by David and Paul early on and then confirmed by these studies. And there's a whole long list of things that are all tiny and hidden here that Lutz et al. Used to look at that, including level spacing, entanglement entropy fluctuations, and participation ratios. And we're going to add one more thing here at the end of the talk. That's the hope. Okay, so this is the sketchy and simplest version of this phase diagram: energy versus disorder strengths, ergodic phase, MBL phase, no conductivity, and then the list of things that have been highlighted in this conference, why this is all exciting. For instance, area loss in excited states, that then in the ergodic phase, in the MBL phase we have area loss, ergodic phase we have volume loss, so we have this funny finite temperature or finite energy density quantum phase transition that several people have talked about. We have quasi-local emergent conserved charges, robust integrable system, and so on and so forth. But this is maybe one of the properties that I would like to highlight here, because it's one of the things that really distinguish the MBL phase from the Anderson insulator. So this log increase entanglement that was observed by Jens, Frank, and Joel Moore, and then also in this paper here by Sniderec and Compagnon, is something that sets the MBL phase apart. So at the end of the story, I will argue that we have one more feature that is also different in the MBL phase compared to the Anderson insulator. So here's a totally biased personal list of questions that we found interesting when we got into the story here. So as I said, you can wonder how is MBL different from, how is the MBL insulator different from the Anderson insulator. Then really what the key motivation was for us to get into the story was to ask, okay, how can you, in the most intuitive way, visualize the localization length and compute it? And I'll tell you more in detail what I mean by that. Then the characterization of the transition, and then 2D, obviously, are open questions. So here we'll start from this particular question. Okay, what do I mean? If you go back to Anderson localization, and if you're like a dumb numerical guy, you don't want to do calculations on a piece of paper, what you just want to do is you go to a Hamiltonian like this here. You know if there is no periodic potential, then you have Bloch states, and then you put disorder, you put it on a computer, and within seconds you see that the wave functions have some kind of structure, but primarily they have this exponential envelope here, and you can literally read off the localization length. And there's many ways of looking at localization length that we've heard about. For instance, you can look at entanglement entropy, how it scales as you increase the block size. or you can read it off from the coefficients in the Abel Hamiltonian. But we wanted to see if there is a direct analog to really looking at single particle states, that if you can find such a set of states that are properly localized in the MBL phase and properly delocalized in the delocalized phase. And the hope was then that we could potentially use all the machinery that was developed for Anderson localization then also for the MBL phase. Okay, that's a bold goal, and we'll see how far we can get to that. Here's just an example of a typical single particle eigenstate in the Anderson insulator in 1D, precisely what I said before. This is a log-Lin plot, so I call this the triangle of localization that you in principle want to see, and there is this exponential decay here. Okay, the question is, can we extend this to MBL? Okay, here's basically the key summary. There will be two main, maybe three main messages here. So first of all, yes, we can find a well-defined set of single particle states that naturally generalizes single particle eigenenergy states to the many-body case. And that goes via looking at the one-particle density matrix, short OPDM, which on a lattice is just defined by calculating C dagger I, Cj for fermions here in the individual many-body eigenstates. And then we diagonalize this guy, and we get two pieces out of that, obviously. There's a single particle set of eigenstates that are usually in quantum chemistry referred to as natural orbitals. And then you can start to look at these states. They will typically, of course, depend on interaction strength. They will clearly depend on which disorder realization you look at. But it's a nice single particle set of states. And we will see that deep in the localized phase, they will clearly be localized. You will have well-defined localization centers. As you approach the transition, you will see that resonance is built up. And then in the ergodic phase, they actually look delocalized. Now, the problem here is still that the tools that we're going to use to calculate all of that, since we still have to go through the many-body eigenstates, so far has just been exact normalization. So in terms of the length scales, we cannot do any better yet than what other people have done. But of course, there's now the hope that one could potentially use the DMRG techniques that were discussed in Frank's talks and other talks to go beyond that. So that is good, and I'll show you, of course, the results that support these claims here. But what turned out to be even more interesting is to look at the eigenvalues of the single particle density matrix. So those are numbers that, because of the normalization, this is normalized to total particle number, range between 0 and 1. And here the main result of the whole talk is really that in this occupation spectrum, we see an emergent Fermi liquid-like behavior. And that is clearly different from the Anderson insulator. And I'll come to that in a couple of minutes. So where does the one-particle density matrix, where do you encounter that typically in physics? Well, since many of us have worked on ultra-cold quantum gases a lot in the past, then you know that you use this object to generalize Bose-Einstein condensation to the many-body case precisely by diagonalizing this object and looking for a state that has a macroscopic occupation, and then you say, this is the wave function that I condense into. So in that sense, it's very natural to also ask the same question for this order. And then there is a result that is actually totally trivial, but somehow not much discussed in textbooks, namely, if you want to generalize the Bloch theorem that is formulated for the single particle case, so the many-body case, then naturally you immediately see that the eigenstates of the OPDM in a clean system have to be Bloch states. Yeah, so in that sense, I mean, it immediately follows from symmetries. And in that sense, it's not surprising that if you start from Bloch states and you add this order, that these states will have to react in the same way that the eigenstates in the Anderson problem react to this order. So here's then the program that we apply. We look at the model of interacting fermions in one dimension. So that's just Hopping and nearest neighbor with Pulsion. We fix an energy. Then we obtain the many-body eigenstate that is the closest to that desired energy. By diagonalizing the Hamiltonian, we compute the one-particle density matrix here. We diagonalize it. It gives us the set of occupations and eigenstates, single-particle eigenstates here. It defines a unitary transformation from the original fermions defined in V-space to some new index alpha. And then we can average or not average over impurity configurations. OK, so here, let me first discuss properties of the wave functions of these natural orbitals. So here's just well, a random selection of random states, if you wish, for realizations at different disorder strengths here, going from weak to, yeah, to still in the delocalized phase to very strongly in the MBL phase. This is plotting phi squared here. This is the SU2 symmetric point of the model. And you clearly now look at this here. You don't even have to do a lot of analysis. You can just count the number of sites where you have significant weight in the wave function, and that's order of L sites. So that's clearly a delocalized wave function. Now, if you go deep into the MBL phase, then clearly, as you expect, since you start deep in the MBL limit from just particles sitting in the deepest local potentials, you expect that this will remain, and then it gets just a little bit smeared out to the left and to the right, and that's exactly what you see here. And in between, that's now, of course, a bit a question of how much belief you want to put into this, because it's still just 16 sites here, or 14 actually, then you could potentially see that there's one or two localization centers. But here, I totally admit that system size is small. There's two questions?
I just wanted to ask about the autonomy. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's, of course, the limitation that we still have to go through many body ion states. So in essence, you're still always in a, if you wish, ballistic regime, because you're always still below the localization length.
Yeah, yeah? I mean, isn't it surprising that this state is so visibly peak?
No, I think that's the problem when you just pick one state. So of course you have to look at the whole distribution and statistical properties. Yeah? So I mean, here we just look at three individual states, so we should not put too much interpretation. Yeah? So we'll look into some of the statistical properties in just about a second. David.
Is this periodic boundary conditions, or is this like a...
Yeah, this is periodic boundary conditions. Yeah. No. Well, I mean, this is delocalized, right? So it should actually diverge. But let's move on, and then maybe I think the next slide will answer that question. Yeah, because again, these are just single states and a single realization. Yeah? And remember that for this energy, though, so this is basically in the middle of the spectrum, more or less. There is actually, of course, system size many of these states, and it will also matter which ones are actually occupied to really extract properties. Okay, so now one quantity that you can look at is the inverse participation ratio calculated from these L many single particle states here, as defined here. And that property in the delocalized phase should be small. Yeah? Whereas in the localized phase, it should actually be order of one. So now we can follow these trends here. So this is showing distributions of IPR here, first again in the weakly disorder case here. And then you clearly see this peaks at small numbers, and then as system size increases, the position shifts to smaller values, and the distribution becomes sharper. So that's really what you would expect to happen in the weakly disordered regime in the delocalized phase. Then as you approach the transition, which happens again close to 3, between 3 and 4, then the whole distribution becomes much broader. You lose this clear finite size trend, and eventually, in the MBL phase, the mean of this distribution moves over to 1, but still the distribution is vastly huge. Yeah, and here two more examples of typical natural orbitals. This again is just one clear localization center here in the MBL phase, and that's another state that you can pick and look at in the delocalized phase. Okay, that's what you get from IPR. Then you can look at 1 over IPR. This is plotted here as a function of disorder strength. And then you clearly see that here, this is for different system sizes. As you increase L, this just goes up with L, as expected. And then in the MBL phase, it becomes essentially system size independent. That again makes sense. There's no clear feature here that we see here on the system sizes close to the transition. But then if we plot the dependence of 1 over IPR on interaction strength, then we see what we would expect, namely that as you increase V from 0, you get basically a notion of delocalization. Eventually, you localize again, and that's the known reentrant behavior that you also see in the phase diagram. Yeah, but the key features are here. Okay, so that's so much as we have so far analyzed the states, but the most interesting stuff actually is in the occupation spectrum. So let me start with a very simple limiting cases. Let's first ask, what are these numbers that we get from diagonalizing the OPDM in the clean case? So in the clean case, we know that the eigenstates have to be plane waves, so then simply what we get is n of k. So that's what these things are in the clean case. If you go to the Anderson insulator, then we note that every many-body eigenstate is obviously a Slater determinant. So irrespective of what disorder strength is, if I order these numbers by their value, then I always get particle number many ones, and then I drop to zero, and that's a sharp transition. That's just a Fermi step function. Yeah? So meaning that in the Anderson insulator, this always looks like this. Now then we can go into the limit in which disorder strength is much larger than hopping or interaction. And then we're left with this term in the MBL phase. And then again, I just occupy the n sites that have the deepest potentials. I again get a step function. And now comes the most important result. You start to smear this out a little bit once you go away from the deep MBL limit here. So this is 8, this is 6 here. And then you see what happens is that after impurity averaging, disorder averaging, many ones remain, then you smear out the function a little bit, but there is a finite discontinuity surviving here in the spectrum as you go away from the deep MBL limit. Yeah? Sorry? Yeah, no, you cannot, in the non-attracting case, you cannot detect a mobility edge, of course, because this is, for the many-body eigenstate, this is always a Slater determinant. You could detect it if you ask whether the, what you get after disorder averaging, whether that distribution is thermal or not. Yeah? So in the below the mobility edge, you would have a thermal distribution, and above that, that should not be the case. But simply from looking at this, you won't see that. Okay, so we have this jump in the MBL phase. And now if you look at the full picture, looking at a full range here of values of disorder strengths going from deep in the MBL phase into the weakly disordered regime, you see that the height of the jump or this discontinuity decreases. And it's obvious that in the delocalized phase, if we believe that it's ergodic, there cannot be a discontinuity. It actually has to be a smooth distribution. So we can take the presence or absence of this discontinuity really as an indication of whether we have a thermostat or not. And actually, you see that here for these values of weak disorder, that indeed there is a smooth and continuous distribution. And you can even go ahead and compare and like check whether this is thermal or not by calculating the energy, the temperature that corresponds to the energy that you're looking at, and then calculating the OPDM in a thermal ensemble, and from that obtaining this set of eigenvalues by diagonalizing this thermal object. And this is done for a small system here, and the agreement that you see here is as good as you typically get it when you look at non-interactable systems and check for whether you have thermalization or not. Yeah, so the message from that is, yes, indeed, these distributions here. That's just the temperature that you get out of the mean energy.
Yeah, it's the same temperature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Requires
you to get an eigenstate. Yeah, I have no idea yet how to get it without doing that. Yeah.
Do I understand correctly that if you just take some arbitrary state, not an eigenstate, yeah, and you apply this probe, you will not get such sharp results?
No, probably not, but we have not tried that. That's a question that we should look at.
It will just look like an infinite temperature thermal state. That's what a typical state looks like.
Yep. Yeah, it depends on which kind of ensemble you take, well, what you average over, I suppose. Yeah? That's the thing we should try that we haven't done yet. Okay, but main message really is we have this discontinuity that really resembles what's going on in a Fermi liquid. But the surprising thing is now that a Fermi liquid is the asymptotic low energy description of an interacting Fermi gas. But here the many-body localized phase is just a robust Fermi liquid at any energy scale. Yeah. So that's what's plotted here. That's the initial plot from the first slide. That's precisely this discontinuity here for a fixed system size of, I think, 16 sites here. Here, energy density versus disorder strength. So you clearly see, OK, this looks like the ergodic region. This is small numbers. This is large numbers here. And then you can put some faithfully think that you see the mobility edge here. And then when you plot this as interaction versus disorder, you see the reentrant behavior that I think Barlev and others have also discussed. Yeah? So this clearly resembles what you see here. The only difference is here that we define energy density different from here. So this cut ends precisely here. Okay. There's one more thing that you can extract to get qualitative. And that's a bit to get a measure of how large the fluctuations are in this occupation spectrum as you approach the transition. And for that, we define a one-particle occupation entropy here from the eigenvalues of the OPDM. And the disorder average is shown here as a function of disorder. System size again increases in this direction, so this looks like a volume law. Then it becomes much smaller here in the MBL phase. But most importantly, if you look at the variance, there's indeed a maximum here that sits in the vicinity of the, where we expect the transition to be, and the height of the maximum increases with system size. So there's one small catch, but this is a divergent or maximum, just depends on how you normalize the density matrix here. Yeah? So here it's normalized to total particle number, so the overall volume law just comes from that normalization. Yeah? A single particle density, a single particle entanglement entropy would just have a maximum or two divergence. But that indeed resembles a bit that the behavior that you see in entanglement entropy, where you have a spatial bipartition, and then now you bipartite, so to speak, you cut out one particle in the bath of all others. Okay, so then let's talk on the remaining two slides a little bit about the connection between the states that we get out of diagonalizing the OPDM and the corresponding fermions to the L bits. So the fact that we have a discontinuity in the similarity to the Fermi liquid means that we have probably quasi-particles of an infinite lifetime, and those are obviously precisely the L bits. And if you look at this Hamiltonian, and that's something that I probably first heard in one of Ehud's talks, not in this conference, but in other conferences, that's obviously looks like a Fermi liquid Hamiltonian with a bunch of more terms here. And the construction is somehow very similar. You have a particle, then particle hole pairs that here are just labeled in real space, whereas in standard Fermi liquid theory, we have a momentum space label. So in that sense, we relate the spaces that we get out of diagonalizing the OPDM to what the physical particles are in the Fermi liquid. So there, the correct label in the Fermi liquid is momentum. Here, it's something that is close to real space. And then the real quasi-particles that underlie that will have a sharp distribution, as Frank said. So every many-body eigenstate can be characterized by a discrete set of these numbers. And then you have this nice correspondence here. So in that sense, the Anderson insulator relates to the free Fermi gas in the same way that the many-body localized phase seems to relate to the Fermi liquid state. OK, so here's a bit the plan for the future. So we haven't really looked into quantitative analysis, whether we can do scaling, for instance, on this, these fluctuations here. But now that there's all these developments with DMRG, it seems that we probably first should implement these techniques and then go to larger system sizes and then live up to what I promised at the beginning. Try to look at individual states here first. Here are two examples again, and see whether we can have extract localization length. This is now log linear, and apparently, to some degree, this seems to be possible. But of course, you have to look at the whole distribution statistics. Then what would be very interesting, maybe not in this model, but in other systems, is to look at multifactorial structures in these natural orbitals, and then ultimately also connect to Hamiltonians that are more relevant for the experiments that, for instance, Uli discussed on Wednesday. OK, so then let me summarize. We would say that, yes, you can come up with a single particle description of the many-body localized phase. So the natural orbitals are precisely what captures all the single particle effects, if you wish. They are properly delocalized in the ergodic phase and localized deep in the MBL phase. Getting to the transition suffers from the same constraints that you first have to go through calculating the many-body eigenstate, that you have in all exact diagonalization calculations. But the most interesting result is this discontinuity in the occupations, the similarity to a Fermi liquid, which now is another feature that distinguishes MBL from an Anderson insulator. And the Fermi liquid interpretation was around, of course. It's just basically, I think, one of the key hallmark features of a Fermi liquid that you have a discontinuity that we see here. Thank you for your attention.
The wave function of the definition of the wave function of natural orbitals.
Yeah.
When you have a degeneracy in this eigenvalue of this correlation function.
Say it again.
In a definition of the natural orbital, yeah. I guess you diagonalize this CI dagger.
Degeneracies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good point. So in fact, of course, after averaging, you see degeneracies, but for a given disorder realization, there's few. And here you kind of have the blessing of working with exact generalization because you just don't see the problems yet. Now you might think of resonances, but the resonances show up in many-body Hilbert space. Here we just have L-many, right? And that's why the resonances that will show up and that can potentially cause degeneracies as you go to the transition are not so crucial yet, yeah? Because it's only L-many eigenvalues.
Can I? So first, a comment and a suggestion. So a comment is that this you're basically retracing the steps of the original BAA paper because
in a sense,
it was a lifetime quasi-particle. So it's actually really nice to see how things really work. But the other sort of question, of course, in Fermi liquid theory, you only have the jump at zero temperature, and the jump gets rounded in some simple to compute way. So the thing I was trying to think during your talk is that what is the natural way to introduce fake temperature in here without, you know? And so I think one candidate possibly, as you know, as everybody here knows, is that if you don't start with an eigenstate, at late times, entanglement entropy saturates to a volume law with a fake temperature that's somehow detail dependent. So the question is, if you repeat your measurement on in parallel with that, whether there's any sort of a terminology to your presumably rounded step and the fake temperature that you get from the entanglement entropy or smaller fake temperature, because at the end of the day, we don't have to do numerics all the time.
No, totally agree. That's a very good question.
So in the MBL phase, I think it's quite clear now that there will be many quantities that decay exponentially with different decay lengths, and some of those decay lengths will diverge at the transition, and other ones will remain finite. Right? And one worry about this method is this decay length, this localization length you will get from the natural orbitals, which category will it be in? You know, will it be one which actually doesn't diverge at the transition? And I think that's definitely a possibility and a word, so it's just a comment.
Yeah, no, I agree, but so our intuition is that if you understand the fermions that we get out of diagonalizing the OPDM as projecting the L bits back into the single particle space, then I would basically expect that that what we will get is essentially the same length scale that you see here in these coefficients. Yeah, that's our hypothesis, and so Brian showed results for this, and then we can check that. Yeah, so I guess this should be similar.
Fabian, so just a clarification about the ordering of the natural orbital. Yeah. So in the non-interacting case, the ordering is kind of arbitrary because you can put all the zeros on the left and all the ones on the right, and then you can mix them. So how do you, when you switch on the interactions, of course, different ordering will give you different results. This is the first question. Mm-hmm. And then the second question is, how confident are you in this discontinuity in the natural orbitals when you increase the system size?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first question is, we just always order the OPDM eigenvalues by their size. That's pragmatically how we do it. The occupations, occupations. I don't think there's a difference between MBL and Anderson insulator. You can, of course, try to adiabatically connect them to the states that you have to deepen the MBL limit, right? So essentially the same game that Frank and others are playing where the eigenstates evolve by applying unitary transformations, that there should be something similar, which we haven't tried yet. Now the second question was, how confident we are in the finite size dependence. Yeah, that's a good question. So here's just, I hope you can read this off. This is the occupation spectrum as a function of rescaled index here in the weakly disordered regime. So this approaches the smooth transition distribution here. And then you see for W equal 2, which is in the ergodic phase, there's also a little bit of a discontinuity, but that disappears here once we go to the larger system sizes. So that's consistent. And then here for 3 on the system size that we have, this is the present. Now the reason is really if you look at individual...
6, 9.
Sorry? Yeah, 6 is really clear again. Yeah, that's deep in the MBL phase. But then the... Well, that's okay. That, yeah. But here at 3, what you see, again, if you look at individual realizations, you see that some of them already start to look thermal as you approach the transition. Yeah, so there's a certain probability to get thermal clusters, of course, and that's
true.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's another thing. There's also a probability to have insulators, as other people emphasized on the other side. Yeah?
Thank you. Yeah.